All right. Thank you for being here this morning. And I was requested to read this poem in honor of our sweethearts. Safely home. I'm home in heaven, dear ones, oh so happy and bright. There's perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pain and grief is over, every restless tossing past. I'm now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Do you wonder I so calmly trod the valley of the shade? Oh, but Jesus' love illumined every dark and fearful glade. And he came himself to meet me in that way so hard to tread. And with Jesus' arm to lean on, could I have one doubt or dread? Then you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond our shadows, pray to trust our Father's will. There's work still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while life remaineth. You shall rest in Jesus' land. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come. And we're looking for the day when we will see her and her Savior again. That would be wonderful to do. And if you brought your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis. You can start at the last book and go to the left like the Hebrews do. Or you can start at this Gentile left and we'll be in the first book. Chapter 22 we'll be at. Thank you guys for singing. All of you that did music this morning was wonderful. And you can't beat that family harmony, can you? That's absolutely wonderful what you did. I ask all the fathers here to know that we love you. Without fathers, we wouldn't be here, would we? And regardless of your home life, whether it was good or bad, whether you got along with your dad or not, always remember if it weren't for him, you wouldn't be here. And you'll never be able to repay that debt. So if you have grievances in your home, you be big enough to solve them this afternoon and call your dad. Tell him you love him. Those of you who had no problems, call him and tell him you love him. Those who have a father who's already gone home, you pray and ask the Lord to tell him you love him. I promise that will be done. I always get help from Ann on what to preach on. I said, what do I need to preach on? She knew I'd already decided, but we like to ask her. She said, Abraham, it's Father's Day. And she's so right in that. Three religions of the world honor Abraham. The Jews do, Islam does, and Christianity does. There's been more written about Abraham than there has Jesus or Moses or anybody else, because three religions are publishing things about him. It's just kind of interesting to know. So we will pray and then we will read and expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we celebrate Father's Day every day, those of us who know you, for we have the greatest Father that could possibly be, our Father which art in heaven. We thank you for the fathers who are here, the earthly fathers who have worked and put their lives on the line to raise their families. And it's not easy, and sometimes it's more than difficult, but they stuck by the stuff. And they raised their family, often doing without, so they could provide for their families, and we thank you for them. We thank you for those who came out this morning to hear the Word of God. I'd ask that you be with me as I preach, as always, remove me from this place, that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be, and all that should be remembered, please have it be. That above all, you be glorified, and the church be edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find Abraham was a man of faith. He's a father of faith. He's an example to all fathers because of his faith. And we find from the beginning in the story of Abraham, we should go back a few chapters to find out where it starts. And, Abraham was a Chaldean. He was from Ur of the Chaldees, and they were pagans. And God called him and asked him if he would follow him and do whatever he said and be obedient to him. And he did. Now, this was a pagan man who did this. This was a man worshiping idols. This was a lost man. And God gave him the opportunity. He didn't make him do it. He gave him the opportunity, as God always does. He's not going to force you to do anything. He will give you the opportunity to make a decision to follow him. And it's up to you whether you do that or not. So those of you who reject him and won't accept him as Savior, when you get to hell, don't get mad at me and don't get mad at him. We had nothing to do with it. We both warned you. So you went to the place of your own choosing. Say, well, I don't believe that. You'll believe that when you get there. Chapter 22 of Genesis. We'll read through the story, and then we will expound upon it. And it came to pass after these things that God did test or try Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abram built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abram returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So here we find a man who is obedient to the call of God. From the time he left Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't know where he was going. God just said, Will you follow me? Are you willing to give up everything? Abraham was a wealthy man. Are you willing to give up your friends, your relatives, your homeland? Are you willing to give up everything and follow me into the unknown? You notice he didn't tell him where he was going. Abraham didn't say, Well, if you tell me where we're going, I'll do that. Here we want to do that, don't we? Well, where are we going? We want to know. We might not want to go there. We might want to go somewhere else. But he said, No, if it's God calling and I'm willing to go, he will not do me wrong. Job had already said, because Job was written before Genesis, we just chronologically put them like they are now. Job said, Will the creator of the universe not do what's right? And that should enter into the mind of everybody who's called by God to do anything. Don't ever worry if it'll come out right, or if it's the right thing to do, or how you're going to do it. If he calls you and tells you to do it, he'll prepare a way for it to get done. You can call anybody to a pre-established church with a membership of 1,000 and a salary of $100,000, and they'll quickly come. It's another story when God says, I need you to go to Africa. I need you to go to South America. I need you in Alaska. And you, fat boy, getting out that bar at the beach. That's another story, isn't it? Okay. But he said, now look, you're not just going, and please understand Abraham's name. Please understand things here. He got two sons now, hasn't he? He got Isaac and Ishmael. This is thousands of years ago. We are fighting the war of Isaac and Ishmael today. That's what this is all about. It's not about mass destruction. It's not about Hussein. It's not about Arabs versus Americans. It is about a jihad. It's about who is God. Is it the God of Islam or is it the God of the Jew, Jehovah? Funny how you fellows would sing that a while ago, and you were exactly right. There is but one God, and his name is Jehovah. And that war is going on today. That's what this war is all about. They want to wipe us off the face of the earth because we worship Jehovah of the Jew, don't we not? That is God our Father. They want and have stated and will state their goal is to blast Israel off the map. If you'll pay attention, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to what they do on television, but if you'll notice, the map behind them does not contain the state of Israel. They won't recognize its existence. It isn't even printed on the maps they put out. Their sole goal is to bomb Israel into the sea. It is not going to happen. So when did you find out? First time I read Genesis over here where he says about the gates and they'll defeat their enemies. If you're going to bet, there it is. All the earth will be blessed. We're blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Israel is the progenitor of Jesus Christ. He was a Jew. Please understand that. You come against the Jews, you come against Christ. You come against Christ, you're going to lose. I tell the story often, maybe too often, two or three people say, of the fellow at it was the seminary. He was a black gentleman, and he was the janitor. Getting on up in age, a little white hair, and he was sitting on the benches. The kids were playing, not kids, seminary students. Some of them think like kids. They were playing a little basketball, and it's getting on toward 9 o'clock, and he's ready to close. He's there with the mop, ready to mop the gym, waiting for the game to get over, and he's reading. The game ends, and the seminary students walk out, and one of them's noticed him, said, "Pop, what you reading?" He said, "The Bible." "What part you reading?" He said, "Revelation." "Revelation? Well, this is a erudite seminary student. He knows that's a difficult book, right?" Said, "You understand what you're reading?" Pop said, "Sure do." Well, this amazes the student, right? And he said, "You do?" He said, "I certainly do." He said, "Well, tell me what it's about." He said, "Jesus wins." And make it difficult that you will, that's the summation of the book of Revelation. Jesus wins. And you get on the side of Jesus real early. This is what Abraham is doing, because the angel of the Lord mentioned here that speaks to Abraham. Check sometime who the angel of the Lord is in the Old Testament, and you'll find out it's Jesus Christ. So, well, he wasn't born yet. Oh, yeah, he lived a long time before he put flesh on his body. They told you. Isaiah told you. Everybody misses it. Only one person I know got it, Rabbi Zacharias. I got it from him. Isaiah said, "Unto you a child is born and a son is given," right? And for 70 years, you and I and people our age said, "Well, that's the same thing, isn't it? A child and a son." No, no, no. A child is born. A son is given. The son was already there. The son was sent. You can't be sent unless you're there. You can be created, but you cannot be sent unless you are somewhere. Am I going to understand that? My brother's an English professor, retired. He got the brains in the family. Man knows what a diphthong is. Right? I thought it was a bathing suit. I didn't know. See? He knows what a gerund is. Think about it. You don't. Okay? I know who I'm talking to. Me and H. Lee know our congregation. You see what he put up beside my sign up on the wall? Number for the bail bond man. See, we know who's here. All right. So God's talking to Abraham. Said Abraham, and by the way, Abraham's name used to be Abram. Okay, Abram meant exalted father. That's the meaning of Abram, exalted father. Only thing was, he didn't have any children. And he was leading this crowd out of Ur of the Chaldees, and they were following him as a multitude of people, and I don't know why they went, because here's a man who's named himself Exalted Father, doesn't have any kids. You figure right off, this guy ain't too bright. He calls them together one morning and says, I'm going to change my name. And they're saying, he's wised up. This is good news. What you going to change it to? He said, Abraham. That means father of a multitude. He still ain't got any kids. Well, why would he do that? Because God made a covenant to him and told him he would bless him with children, more children than there are stars in the heaven or sand in the sea. He trusted God. Said, I don't know how, I don't know when, and I don't know where, but if he said it, he'll do it, and I'm going to follow him. That's what we've been trying to say. If God said it, you do it. You don't worry. You don't ask questions. The pea-headed people that want to question God are innumerable. It's unbelievable. Those who are intellectualized, they, I call them educated beyond their intellect, and they want to question God. Let me help you with that, okay? Draw the biggest circle you can, whether it's on a piece of paper in front of you, you take the whole world's circumference and do it. Whatever circle you want to draw, draw it. God's intelligence will more than fill that circle. Yours, regardless what size circle you used, may fill up a pinhead hole in that circle, if you're fortunate. Einstein, one of the greatest minds ever produced around our area, said in the end he believed nobody knew more than 0.5% about anything. And we pose ourselves in halls of ivy, pat each other on the back, and give each other degrees for not knowing anything. Now they've got it down to we came from a rock. Oh yeah, the Big Bang blew up, rock landed. It rained for 2 million years, made soup, primordial soup. You have to have that education in there. Out of the primordial soup, wiggled something. Then it began to walk and talk. I've met some of them. I've been to college. And from that, we came. Weren't we lucky? My goodness. Laughable if it wasn't sick. Take now thy son, thine only son. Say, wait a minute. Now, Abraham did have a son with the maid, right? This was perfectly legitimate under the economy in which he lived. If a man and wife couldn't have children, they could have their servant have a children for the man. That was legal, all right, and okay. People do that today, but it's not okay, moral or legal. But they had Ishmael. They got ahead of God. People will run ahead of God. Then God came and told Sarah she would have a baby. She was 90-something years old. He was 99. Sarah laughed. Kind of muffled laugh. Said, yeah, right. With the dead man over there. She called him as good as dead. The 100. Right? So Abraham's going to have a baby at 100. He sure did believe in God, didn't he? Man of faith. Said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm for it. I remember when. 100. Had the baby. Named him Isaac. But why did God call him his only son? When he had two. This is the war today. You see, Islam says that Isaac and Ishmael, that Ishmael was the true son. No, he was the servant's son. He was half a son. He didn't come from Abraham and Sarah. Only Isaac did. That was a miraculous birth. It was done in the flesh, just like your mother and father had you. But look at the age factor.
The miracle was that he had a baby when he was 100 years old. This was a miracle of God, you see. It's a type of a virgin birth that will come later, and a miracle baby will come and save the world. Told about in Genesis, isn't that something? And he said, whom thou lovest. This is the first time love is mentioned in the scripture. It's not mentioned in the Quran, by the way. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of. He didn't even tell him what mountain to go to. Take your son, load him up. You're going to have to take his life. You are going to have to sacrifice him to me. And Abraham rose up in the morning. We told you what he did. He took Isaac, his son, cut the wood, burnt offering, went to the place God had told him. Then on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He said, what's that in there for? What's it matter when? Because it's another test. This is the crossroads of Abraham's faith. You know, sometimes it's easy to get ready to do something and then back out, isn't it? Get all excited about doing something. I believe God wants me to do something, and then something gets in the way, and then nothing happens. Mama don't want you to be a missionary. You know, a man in Greenville, I played football with him. His daddy became very wealthy. One of his sons wanted to be a preacher, and is one, but was called to the mission field. And to prevent his son from going to the mission field, he built him about $1 million church in Greenville, South Carolina. I'll take you to it. I can tell you right now, that boy will never accomplish what he could accomplish for God in that church more than he could have been on the mission field where he was called. Ain't going to happen. You serve the living God, you will do what he says, where he says, when he says it, and how he says to do it. Else nothing will come of it. Know that. We get people all the time, we'll invite to church, and they'll say, I'll go so-and-so. I say, well, they teach the Bible as the inerrant word of God. I never heard that. They teach the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God. Well, they don't say much about that. When's the last time you heard a sermon on hell? Never heard it mentioned. I said, you need to get out of there and get down there with us. We preach the Bible. Said, well, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't steal sheep. They're not sheep yet. They don't know anything about church yet, except it's a building. They know nothing if they know not that when God said it, that's the end of it. Problem with America is we turned our back on God. Mark the decline of America, schools, when they took prayer out of the classroom. You can mark the decline of America when people don't want to do what's right anymore. Why and who brought up the question even as should we have an amendment not to burn the American flag? I must have been asleep. And they tried to pass that in the Senate this week and couldn't get enough votes to do it. Somebody needs to come out of office. Somebody needs to put Americans back in there. I don't care what party you are in. It takes a fool to live in this country and enjoy its benefits. And not get tears in his eyes when he sees somebody burn a flag. It represents 10,000 crosses left at Dunkirk. 50,000 soldiers left in mud paddies of Southeast Asia. White crosses on the outskirts of Arlington, Washington, D.C. You can't pass without seeing it. Mile after mile after mile after mile of people who died because they love the freedom that flag represents. We live in a country where it's a matter of free speech to burn that flag. I got some speech for you if you burn that one. You don't want to hear it. And you don't want to try it. Because I'll take time off from being a free preacher. Me and Tommy can revert, can't we, Tommy? And they don't want to see Melvin stand up. Makes me sick. Saw the place far off and said, God said, go there. Take my son there. Take his life there. And I'll do it. How do you know he said that? Next verse. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye, stay here with the donkey, with the ass. And listen carefully. And I and the lad, he was about 17, 18, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. How do you know he and the lad would come back? God never told him this is a test. Let me give you a cheat sheet. When you get up there, it's not you we're testing. It's really those people holding the donkey and your son. Y'all going to come back all right. No, no, no. Abraham fully expected to have to take the life of his son. But he knew that that son would either be resurrected or something else would happen. Because God had made a covenant with Abraham that he would have progeny that fit more than the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens. And if he didn't come back, God was a liar and God don't lie. Abraham trusted that. That's a man of faith, isn't it? That's a father of faith, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to have the faith that Abraham had? Aren't you glad those of you whose daddies led you to Jesus Christ and made you go to Sunday school had the courage to do that when people thought it was ridiculous and silly and your friends wanted you to do something else and the teenager pressure and all that, you weren't going to Sunday school and be a sissy anymore, and your daddy said, get in the car if you're going to eat here. We go to church at our house. Aren't you glad you had a daddy of faith? Boy, I am. I can't imagine what I turned out to be. Lord have mercy. We're going to come again to you, he said. We're going to return to you, he said. God said I'd have children. God said he'd bless the nation. God has made me promise his son. Come on. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ laying upon a cross. You see who Abraham is following? God laid his son upon a burnt offering, didn't he? Made him an offering for us, did he not? He laid him upon the wood, did he not? This was his only son he laid upon the wood, did he not? But wait a minute, he didn't let him kill Isaac, and Jesus died. Aren't you glad he did? For had he not, there's no salvation for anybody. You see, the day of killing rams and bulls and having sacrifices and sacraments and doing what the religious leaders asked you to do and trying to earn your salvation through some ritual or some work or whatever you're trying to do, that was going away. The real sacrifice had been promised. How do you know that? Because down here in verse 7, the question is asked, Daddy, I see the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? The kid said, he knew how to sacrifice. He'd been doing before. He's asking the question that you and I should be asking. This son is pretty smart. This son knows that a sacrifice has been scheduled and sacrifices were held to cover the sin of the people. He wanted his father's sin forgiven. He wanted his sins covered. He knew sin couldn't be covered unless there was an offering. Pretty wise kid, isn't he? Raised in a good religious home, wasn't he? Knew the scriptures, didn't he? He knew. Tommy was telling me before church, he went to Promise Keepers this weekend. Several thousand people. Man couldn't get a babysitter for his little girl. She's 10 years old. Or was it a friend's little girl, Tommy? I forgot. His little girl. He couldn't get a babysitter. Called around, couldn't get one. He called and said, I can't come. I can't get a babysitter. Man said, bring the little girl. You don't bother anybody. Put her in the lap, in your lap. Little girl went. He was in doubt where to take her. She listened to the preachers. They talked about sin and salvation, and shed blood of Christ and the necessity of being born again. She's 10. You gave an invitation at the end of the service, and it was her granddaddy. What was it, Tom? Her granddaddy. She pops him in the ribs, said, "Granddaddy, I want to go down there." He thinks she's excited with all the emotion going on. "No, honey, but granddaddy, I won't go down there." "Well, honey, we don't. I want to go down there and get saved." She understood the preaching. He didn't. They took her down there among several hundred or maybe a thousand. I don't know how many went. Big preacher sees the little girl in the crowd. Come, no children are there, just her. "What you doing, honey? Can't get saved?" Said, "Do you know what you're asking?" "Yes, sir, came to get saved. I want to be in the family of God. I want to be a born-again, blood-washed child of the living God." She probably knew more scripture than he did. He said, "If that's what you want to do, sweetheart, let's do it. When God calls you, you go. I don't care if you're 10 or 100. We got people here got saved after they were 82. We got people who come and hear the gospel and say, "Well, I'm 60-something now. It's too late. I've done too much." You ain't done nothing compared to the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive all your sin with a drop. You don't know who you're talking to. You're talking to the Lord God Almighty, He who created everything you see, can't see, and 10 billion universes out there that we know nothing about, with the spoken word of His mouth. He said, "I'll provide a lamb." Did He do it? Yeah. Who was it? Himself. Say what? Himself. See, there was a meeting in eternity past between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, Jesus wasn't the Son yet. Yes, He was. He wasn't enfleshed yet. There has never been a time when Jesus Christ did not exist. The problem of, in the future, I'm going to create man came up, and when I do, I'm going to give them free will, and if I give them free will, I know now they're going to sin against me. We said, "Well, what are we going to do about that?" "Well, somebody's going to have to pay for the sin." "Well, who will be able to do that?" "So one of us." And Isaiah told you the Son was sent. And He was sent. Lived as a man. Never sinned. Why did He never sin? What does that matter? Because mankind needs a sinless Savior to represent us before the Father. And if we don't have a sinless Savior, we don't have a Savior at all. That's why the guru past or the guru coming ain't going to help you. He's sinful. Well, maybe if we kill the biggest bull. Maybe if we kill the best goat won't get it. Well, maybe if we had a ritual nobody else has, your ritual is not worth anything. Well, just maybe I could live a life that was so pure you just told a lie. What makes you think you could do that? You're helpless, hopeless, and need a Savior, God said. And I will be that Savior. I will go and shed my blood. I will be the perfect lamb. I will be the perfect sacrifice. I will give the offering so men may be saved. This kid's pretty smart, wasn't he? So both of them went together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abram built an altar there, a small altar out of rocks, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac. This is a teenager. His dad is old. He could have run. In all probability, he could have beat his daddy up at that age. Why did he stand there and let himself be bound? Isaac had faith too, didn't he? Isaac said, I need the faith of my fathers. We sing that song, don't we? Faith of our fathers, wishing we had the faith our great grandparents and grandparents did. You know, when America was America and we saluted the flag and you didn't lock your doors at night and you could leave the keys in the car downtown. Mamas could take babies in carriages and push them to the A&P store in Winn-Dixie up in Greenville, South Carolina. And it wasn't anything to go into the store and see 6 or 8 baby carriages outside the Dixie Home store with the babies in them. Nobody stole somebody else's baby. You didn't take another man's car. You didn't enter another man's home. That was rare. Try that today. In Mayberry. Going to hell in a handbasket, don't we? We don't have the faith of Abraham. We don't even have the faith of Isaac. But they laid him on the altar. This is a type of the cross, as I told you. You see, Isaac was obedient unto death. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 will tell you that Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. He did what he was sent to do. It wasn't a pretty picture in Gethsemane. I've seen the artist drawing of that where Jesus is in a purple robe and his hair looks like he just got back from the beauty parlor and there's no blood on him, nice white gown, whatever he's wearing, and somebody raked and cleaned up the ground around that big rock. You've seen it. And he's praying there with his hands folded in a halo and the light coming down from heaven. I don't think the Bible reads that way. It tells me he walked a few feet and fell on his face. It tells me that the pressure was so great about what he was about to do that he actually sweat drops of blood. That he knew that bearing the sins of mankind was going to be the greatest act of love and obedience that had ever been done. It was the greatest sacrifice that ever could be thought of by anybody at any time for any reason. And he was to bear that sin. Mine. Yours. Everybody that has lived and will live. And he was to bear that. And said, Father, if there's any other way to do this, it might be nice. He wasn't trying to get out of it. He was just saying, is there any other way? He said, no, there's no other way. It takes a perfect sacrifice and one willing to pay it. And it takes a love so great that nobody else could duplicate it. And it takes a man who lived a sinless life to bear and represent mankind in front of me so I can accept them as if they were you. And he was obedient unto death. Little Isaac has done this, a teenager. Boy, what a terrible thing to have to do, huh? To lay there and know your daddy's got the knife. You've seen him slit the throats of the sheep he's laid on the altar before. You know it will be quick and almost painless, but still it's death. And as a teenager, it's very difficult to understand that why you had to be sacrificed. Couldn't it be another way? And here that young man is, obedient unto death. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God know what he was talking about seeing your only son on an altar. God knew what he was talking about when he said, I know the pain of seeing your only son get ready to die. In fact, he took it further and had to watch. But he turned his head one day on Calvary's hill as he saw his only son die for me and for you. That's why when we hand out the little crosses we give out, some of you ladies wear them around your neck, the testimony that you are saved, that you know the Lord Jesus, that he has died for you. It's the testimony we give in a few minutes when we hold a baptismal service. The people that go there have already given their life to Christ. They've already accepted him as Savior. They are saved as they'll ever get. But they want to come today. And as a testimony before you and the heathen who can't got time to worship God, to say, I don't care who's here and who likes it and who doesn't, today I want you to know that I know a Savior died for me and gave his life for me simply because he loved me. You follow a guru. You perform a ritual. You join the whatever church or movement. I think I'll follow Isaac. I think I'll follow the Lord. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Couldn't get out. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And God accepted that because he had told them, the Lord will provide a lamb. He wasn't talking about the ram in the bushes. He was talking about the perfect sacrifice that the Lord would provide in the lamb without spot or blemish, the Lamb of God who gave his life for you. Did God provide a lamb? We said he did. The folks who are trying to kill us today said no. They took Jesus down off the cross when nobody was looking, and they put Judas up. Well, there's a bit of theological knowledge I missed somewhere along the way. People say who are saved, well, the Bible says, quit saying that. The word Bible doesn't even appear in the Bible. The Bible was named Bible because of the port of Byblos, where the reeds came in that they mashed and made pages for books. That's where the Bible got its name. What this is that you hold and you read and depend on is the Word of God. And people don't want to call it the Word of God if they don't believe it is. They'd rather call it the Bible. Because, see, once you call it the Word of God, that eliminates all errors. Because if it's the Word of God, it's got to be errorless. It's got to be indestructible. It's got to be infallible if it's the Word of God. It's axiomatic, is it not? It's the truth, is it not? And those who argue against it will never, you'll never hear them refer to this book as the Word of God. They'll refer to it as, well, the Bible has mistakes in it. Yeah, well, bring me a list as soon as you can. They've been looking for them for years. People smarter than you, whoever you are. Well, I just can't believe that. Fine, get a seat by Opie in hell. He's going, if he don't change, for the movie, maybe. Ram gone. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Do you know what that means? The charismatic brethren today love to sing the songs, and they'll have Jehovah Jireh, and they'll have the other six or eight names of God in the song, which is fine, but Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. That's what that means. And we learn in Genesis that the Lord will provide. He provided a substitute for Isaac. Get to the New Testament, I find the Lord will provide. He provided His own Son for my sins. He provided everything we've always needed, has He not? Ann and I'll sit home sometimes and bless her little heart, tears will come to her eyes. She'll say, "Do you believe God gave us this?" Do you believe where we live? Do you believe it's free? Do you believe we both have automobiles and go anywhere we want to? Do you believe if we don't like the weather, we can change it with a thermostat on the wall? If I want it colder, turn the dial. If you want it hot, it turn the dial. You believe we got hot and cold running water in the house? A lot of your granddaddies didn't. Let's don't get too far down the line. And we'll sit and bring us to tears. We'll say, "Do you believe those empty chairs will be full Sunday morning, honey? Do you believe we'll sit out 400 chairs when we didn't have any chairs and invited people to come? Well, what did you do? We trusted God for chairs. Trusted H. Lee for 50. He run out. He'd have bought more. Well, what did you do? We made it Linda's problem. Linda, you have a problem. Need 100 chairs for Sunday." She found somebody with two and was cleaning out a storage shed and asked the guy, "Do you happen to have anybody leave a few chairs out here when they moved? We sure could use them." He said, "Chairs? Man, we got more chairs than we need. We got a fella here who's got 1,000 chairs." She said, "What's his name?" And he, not knowing him well, said, "Kenneth McDonald." Linda said, "Dynamite?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "We know Dynamite." She calls Dynamite. Next Sunday, had 100 chairs here. People kept coming. We knew where they didn't go then. "Dynamite, what? Need 200 more chairs." Zoop, he delivers them. Said, "Well, we need 400 now." "Okay, everybody buy a chair." Within 2 or 3 weeks, $12,500 came to us to buy chairs. "Coach, you gave the first 500. God bless you. Started it." So that's a woman of faith there. She said, "I'm going to start it. Here's a check for $500. I'll buy me a row." Right? A few other people did the same. Others sent money that will never sit in them. Said, "I just want to be part of that. I want to buy a chair for somebody to sit in. Somebody may get saved in that chair. One day they'll get rid of this place, get rid of us. We'll have to go somewhere." People said to me, "Where are you going to go?" I said, "I didn't even know I was going there. How will I know I'm going somewhere else?" We'll announce where we've gone. Used to call ourselves the church on the move. We moved over here, moved over to Harold's, moved up there, moved back to here, and we'll probably move again. See, boy, we learned, let's trust God. Let's trust God. So we find out Father's Day is a good day to celebrate. Father Abraham, thank you for being faithful to God. Because of you, your son had children. Because of your lineage, the line of Jesus Christ wasn't broken. And I had a Savior born. Because of you, I have two fathers in heaven. One who taught me to follow God, and the other one is God. What a Father's Day. How many fathers you got? If you just got one dead or alive, I feel sorry for you today. You need the other one. You need the Father, the Father of lights, the Father of creation, the Lord God Almighty. So, well, how do I do that? Well, the Bible teaches us, believe, trust in, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, it sounds too simple. No, you're too simple to understand it. That's the problem. God could have made it hard. You don't understand a rock yet, let alone his deep theological treatise. He said, I'll make it real easy. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're dying. You're going to hell. I'm your life raft. I'm your boat. I'm your Savior. I'll pay the price of your sin. All I ask you to do is put your faith in me that I did pay it. You want to go? Yes or no? It's real simple. These so-called atheists say, well, I can't just believe by affirmation. It's not by affirmation. It's by commitment. It's saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm helpless and hopeless and I can't do anything about it. And I'm depending on the blood you shed on Calvary's cross, plus nothing, minus nothing, just my faith in your work, that you will impute your righteousness to me and I can come in on your credit card. I want to go. Simple enough. Simple enough. Have you done that? Has there been a day in your life when you ever said, I'm a sinner, need a Savior, and today I want to accept him as mine? Because if there isn't, there is no other hope for you. So if you haven't done that, you do that today, and we'll join you one day, laughing and joking and smiling. I can't wait to see both fathers face to face. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. Plan of salvation, we saw it in type in Genesis. The father Abraham obeyed you implicitly and was willing to give his own son as an offering. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ who came and died and rose again, whereby we might be saved. Thank you. What a gift. What a Father's Day gift from the Father that you do such a thing for us. Be with the one here who knows you not. Be with the one here who's never been saved. Be with the one here who is lost, who needs a Savior today. Maybe the last time they hear the gospel, very simply. Maybe the last time they have an opportunity to come to you. I pray, Lord Jesus, touch them as we sing. In Christ's name I pray. And for his sake, amen.